The title of today's sermon is The Power of Making a Joyful Noise to Jesus. Psalm 98 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he opened, showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." I love that verse. Just let me read that to you again. "He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel." And here's my favorite part. "All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." That's going to be a great day. 4 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwells there within. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, which righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity." Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, God, and we thank you so much for being able to come into the church today to see our brothers and sisters in Christ, God, to lift one another up. Lord, we thank you for the great praises that we've heard. Lord, we just want to rejoice in the victories that we have in the world, Lord, knowing that Satan may be on a prowl, he may be coming after us, but nobody is more stronger than you, Lord. Nobody has more strength than you, and nobody loves us more than you do. So, God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for that. Lord, I pray, God, that whatever struggles or burdens or things we came in with, God, we would leave those things at the door so that we can focus on your word today, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds. Let us use this precious time to connect our souls with yours. We love you, Jesus. Speak to us today in this service, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So joyful noise. There are some noises that are joyful and some that aren't so joyful, right? And so what is a joyful noise? Well, maybe before you answer that question, maybe an easier question is, what is a noise that is not joyful?
Snoring.
Yeah, that is definitely not a joyful noise, babe. Snoring. Snoring's not a joyful noise. That's good. Do we have any teachers in here? What about the sound of nails on a chalkboard? You know, that's not a joyful noise. What are some other unjoyful noises?
Sighing.
Sighing, whining, yeah. Screaming in pain. That's not necessarily a joyful noise. So, yeah, there's
a
couple.
Behind you.
What?
A siren behind you.
The siren behind you? Yeah, that definitely will take the wind out of your sails. You know, I think I heard Mike say something. Did I hear you say flatulence? Did you say that, Mike?
I can't. No.
That's not a, well, I think maybe a different word came up, but that's not a joyful noise, but it does make kind of a funny sound. It puts a nice smile on your face, doesn't it? Yeah, sure it does. So joyful noises, what is a joyful noise? What's something that you hear and it tickles your ears? It just makes you feel special. It makes you feel important. Is it calling out your name when you're being asked to marry, Faith? No? Not paying attention. See, that's what you do as a pastor. You get the privilege of picking on people. Praise the Lord. What's a joyful noise? Something that just brings happiness to your heart.
Children's laughter.
Children's laughter. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, sure.
Wife telling you she loves
you. Oh, that's good. A wife telling you. Now, if you're a man, it's a wife telling you you love her. We got to clarify in today's day and age. No, but amen. I agree with that.
Time to eat.
Time to eat! That's a joyful noise, hearing somebody ring the cowbell, right? That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh,
no. So, lots of joyful noises. There's lots of joyful noises. For you, Shane, probably when you first started up that motorcycle and it started for the first time, right? That was probably a joyful noise for you, something that made you look forward to it. But there are lots of joyful noises, like when somebody's cheering for you, when they welcome you at work. When somebody sees you at church and they say, "Hey, Bill, how's it going? Boy, it's good to see you in the morning." That's kind of joyful noise that puts a happiness in your heart, when somebody's looking forward to seeing you. What about singing happy birthday at a place like Casa Ramos, where they put that funny hat on your head, and then they all sing in some language that we don't know? Is that funny? Is that a joyful noise? Sure it is. Everybody at the party is having a great time. Now, I don't know if you're having a great time, but the rest of the people in the party are having a great time. So there are some great joyful noises that we have in our heart. But a joyful noise puts a smile on your face. It perks you up. It changes your whole attitude. And you know, so today I want to talk about making a joyful noise. But not to you. I want to talk about making a joyful noise to the Lord. Because if a joyful noise to you lifts you up, cheers you up, and you like to be praised, how much more earning and deserving is our Lord and Savior to be praised and for us to make a joyful noise? Amen? Absolutely. And so today I'm going to share with you this Psalm 98. Now, Psalm 98 is a special psalm, as all these scriptures are special. But Psalm 98 is actually a widely used psalm in many of the Jewish traditions still today. Psalm 98 is special in the fact that it's one of seven psalms in the Bible used at Jewish festivals to honor God. And so if you don't know, today is a special Jewish day. They celebrate the New Year. And that day is called Rosh Hashanah. And verse 4 and 6 is used during every one of those New Year specials in Psalm 98 to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. And so that's kind of cool. Then the praying that takes place every single Sabbath that many of the Jews ascribe to, also one of the six psalms that they read is Psalm 98, which brings glory and honor to God. So this psalm has a lot of history. It has a lot of special things about it. And what it's about is praising and anticipating the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about. And so we don't know if King David wrote it. We don't know if Asaph wrote it. We don't know if one of his descendants wrote it. We don't really know who wrote it. But what we do know is it's written to give praise and honor and glory to God. Listen to verse 4 again. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth." So who's supposed to do this?
All the earth.
I'm not convinced that everybody knows that yet, though. Who's supposed to make a joyful noise?
All the earth.
That's right. All the earth is. It says all the earth. And then it says make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So what Scripture is telling us, when we're here to worship God, when we're here to make a joyful noise, when we're here to lift His name in praise, we should be loud. We should be obnoxious. I'm really good at this, by the way. I mean, we should be just happy and having fun and praising God and lifting our voices to Him. That's what we're supposed to do. If you are like me, and you're thinking, well, Pastor, that's good for exuberant people, for outspoken people, but I'm not one of those people. I just want to look at the hymnal and read the words. Or I just want to look at and sing quietly. You know, I was one of those people too. I was what was known as a soloist. I sang so low you couldn't hear me. Anybody else like that in the church today? Yeah, you know, admitting it is the first step of the problem, Brother Gene. So praise the Lord for raising your hand. Because what Jesus says, He says, you know, we're not supposed to be singing low. He says, the Scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So when we sing praise, when we're worshiping the Lord, when we're lifting our voices to the Lord, we're also given a neat promise. And Psalm 22:3 says that God inhabits the praises of His people. I thought, what does that mean? How can God inhabit a praise? So I read it again. I studied it. I looked it up in multiple versions of the Bible. I'm thinking, God inhabiting, God living in the praises of His people. So what I thought about was, you ever seen a team like a Super Bowl win or a World Series win? What do they do for the MVP? Typically, they kind of carry that person, and he's in the middle of all their praises. I thought, maybe that's what it means when it says that God inhabits the praise of His people. But imagine that. If we sing praise, if we're singing to God, we're praising Him, lifting our voice, He sits enthroned by the very words and the sounds that come out of our mouth. It draws us nearer to Him. I think that's exciting. I don't know about you, but anything I can do to draw near to Jesus, I'm up for. And especially, it's something like this. I need Him to be. I need His rhythms to be in my plans. I need His voice to be in my heart. I need His His lordship to be guiding all my directions and all my steps and everywhere I go. So if a way to bring Jesus closer to me is by doing nothing but lifting my voice and making a joyful noise in praise, then I want to do it. I want to sing with my hands high, crying out from all my heart with the top of my voice, just singing to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the reason I come to church, is to get closer to the Lord, right? And so why wouldn't I want to do that? And so that's what the scripture is talking about. He inhabits the praise of his people. What a blessing that is. Church, we can learn to, we can choose to, we can make the decision to grow closer to Christ just by praising him. Just by praising him. We can do that if we choose. And so what it says in Psalm 103, 1 and 2, it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me." No matter what circumstance we're in, we should have our heads held high as we praise our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now think about this, parents. If you walk around, if you bring your kids to children's church, if you bring your kids to church, they get to hear these songs. If you're at home and you're listening to K-Love or something, and you're singing these songs, they get to hear that their mom, their dad, their grandma, their grandpa are hearing these songs. And those songs kind of get ingrained into us, don't they? You know songs you might not even have remembered. When I go to an Alzheimer's home, I am shocked that the people can't remember my name for 15 seconds. But if I start singing Amazing Grace, they're humming along with me. How does that work? It's because it's been ingrained with them from their parents. They know how to praise God, even though they don't remember my name or your name. It's a blessing, and that's what I believe it's talking about when it says God inhabits the praise of his people. And so parents, when you're out there singing things like the B-I-B-L-E, like you were in the crowd today, or Jesus Loves Me, you're giving that insight to your kids, to the people that hear you, and you're blessing them in a way that may help them 10, 20, 30 years down the line that you don't even know. What a special blessing that is. Here's an old Bible school song that I really love. We don't sing it here much, but I really love it. I don't know the actual name, but the words go like this. It says, praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him when the sun goes down. Do you know that song?
Yes.
You know that song? Yeah, that's a great song, isn't it? And then the second verse goes, serve him, love him, I think. But anyway, it starts out and it goes, praise him, in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Boy, that's just a good song. Just a simple song when you sing that, though. It brings joy to your life. I look out here and I see some of you singing that song and you start smiling like, boy, I remember that old song. Man, that is good. And as a parent or a grandparent, when you're singing around your children, when you're out there and you're praising Jesus, they're hearing what you say. And you're implanting those thoughts and those things in their heart, too. So their praises, Jesus' praises, are dwelling in their heart. So awesome. You know, when I think about that song, I think about what it says in Isaiah 12:6 too. It says, shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. And so I thought, well, when it says a loud noise, what does that really mean? Does that mean a loud, like, clap? Does that mean a hallelujah? Does that mean you're supposed to be shouting with all that you are? Well, if you look up the word shout in Isaiah 12:6, the word is called teshal in Hebrew, and it means bellow. It means, yeah, get it all out there. It means really shout and give to the Lord. And I think that's one thing that we could learn to do. In praising, you can look up the word praise in your Bible, and depending on what version you have, you'll have well over 200 instances of people praising Jesus or praising God throughout the Bible. 200 instances. Some Bibles have 240-something, some are 230. It just kind of depends on what version you have. They may use a different word that's alternative, but there is a lot of praising going on. And if you think about the people in the Bible, they had a lot to praise Jesus for. Think about the Israelites being delivered from the Pharaoh, right, through Moses. They praised God. They joyfully sang to him. If you look at Exodus chapter 15, that's the part where that's the part where Moses brings the people through the Red Sea, and God divides the Red Sea, and everybody walks through on that dry land. And the whole chapter of Exodus 15 is nothing but praising, a song about praise for God delivering them. See, they were excited. People praised God back in the old times. So people should praise God back in the new times, right? Over and over again, the Bible gives us instances. David dancing for joy. People playing their lyres and their harps and their trumpets and singing for Jesus. Think about the time when Jesus was proclaiming himself as king. When he was coming into Jerusalem riding that little donkey. What was taking place? People were laying down their cloaks. They were laying down their clothes. They were laying down palm leaves. And what were they saying? Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, right? And so they were so excited. They were shouting. They were praising God. But what about our churches today? If you go into our churches today, what do you typically see? Do you typically see people standing up, clapping, singing with all their might? You ever see that in the church? You know, yeah, if you're honest. Probably not that often, right? Maybe if there's a concert, but other than that, probably not that often. So I wonder, why? Why is that? Is it because we're embarrassed? Is it because we're prideful? Why don't we stop worrying about who's sitting to the left or the right of us and just open up and just praise the Lord and sing at the top of our lungs to praise Him, because that's what it's all about. I got another question about our churches today. If we love and praise Jesus so much, then why is it that every church I've ever gone into has at least twice as many prayer requests as they do praises? Do you really have twice as many problems as you have blessings in your life? No. But that's what shows. That's what shows. And so I don't know that our church or any other church has this really figured out about what it's like to make a joyful noise to the Lord, a loud noise, and really praise His name. Amen? Does God deserve praise?
Yes.
What do we have to praise the Lord for? Who's got something to praise the Lord for? Yeah, everything. You're right about that, Mike. Yeah, Angela?
I have a class this year that is challenging, but I'm still alive, and they are too.
Hey, see, there you go. That's a praise. Right? That's a praise. Who else has got something to praise God for today?
Getting up every morning.
Every morning. Being able to wake up and your heart beating one more time, right? For salvation, for helping Bill find a new direction in life. What do you got something to praise him for, Josh?
For the job.
For starting a new job. Yeah, absolutely. That's a praise, you know. And think about Sister Carol. She's out of the hospital. Her health is starting to get a little better. That's a praise. Finding out that Ariel's carrying a little life within her, a little bundle of joy that'll be a boy. Whether it's a boy or a girl, who really cares? What a blessing it is that a baby is coming out. You know, a new life is coming into the world. Praise the Lord of that. And then you think, what other things do we have to praise God for? Well, Alyssa and Jordan are engaged. Faith and Kyle are engaged. I'm still figuring out if that's a praise or not. But I mean, lots of good things are happening. I'm just kidding. But lots of great things are happening. We have so many things to praise God for. But so often we just look at the bad things that happen in our life. So when you're contaminated with all these bad things, you're thinking about, oh, but I need this. Oh, but I need this. Oh, but I have to have prayer for this. You're missing out on some of the joy you could have in your relationship with Jesus by really praising Him, getting down and praising Him. And people say, well, Pastor, that's good for you. You're supposed to be that guy. You're like Jesus' number one marketing salesman. No, we're all supposed to be that guy or that gal. We're all supposed to be living that life, right? But what about when times are tough? I mean, how do you really praise God when you've lost something so dear to you? How do you really praise God when your heart is hurting, when you don't see Him answering your prayers in the time you want Him to pray, or you want Him to answer your prayers? I mean, how do you praise God in that situation? I don't know, but Scripture tells us in Psalm 42:5, it says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and yet I will praise Him, my Savior and my God." And then it continues, says, "I will praise the Lord God with a song and a thankful heart." Even when you're going through a tough time, it says, praise can take you out of that tough time. Do you ever remember the story about Paul and Silas? Yeah, they were beat. They were thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. And what happened? I'm sure they were in pain. I'm sure they suffered. I'm sure they were a little miserable in that prison. But then they started to break out in psalm, didn't they? As they started singing, as they started praising God's name, something exciting happened, didn't it? Does anybody remember what that was? An earthquake. An earthquake happened and busted open all the jail cells. I think it says in Acts 16, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened.
Wow.
Who says praise can't change something? There's proof right there, folks. You say you believe in the Bible. There's a story right there that shows when you're in downcast, when your soul is going through a rough time, if you will just lift up Jesus, you will just praise his name, it'll take your focus off your problems, lift him up, and maybe even something like that could happen. But that was just a little bit of the story. That's not even the best part. The best part is that jailer got saved. And his whole family was saved and baptized when they went back. All because somebody started praising God in a tough situation. You never know who's watching you. Wouldn't it be amazing, and I'm speaking to myself too, wouldn't it be amazing if we could go out when we're having a tough time, when we're going through a rough time in life, and we praise God instead of complain? The world might look at you and think you're crazy. But think of how that could change somebody's life. Think about how that could change your life and your perspective. Absolutely awesome, I think. Because here's the thing about praise. The devil tries to tell you that you can only be happy when things are going good in your life. See, praise isn't like that. Praise is not about your emotional state. It doesn't matter what your emotional state is to praise God. Praise is about obedience and trust. It doesn't say here, make a joyful noise to the Lord if everything's going great in your life, brother. Doesn't. It doesn't say, make a joyful noise in your life to the Lord if everything is going great today. If the sun is shining and there's no rain, then make a joyful noise. It doesn't have any conditions. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's it. Make a loud noise and praise his name. It's not about emotion. It's about obedience. It's about trust. And when you obey God, what happens, Brother Daryl? You're blessed, right? That's that simple. It's that simple. So there's a blessing you could be missing out on because you're not being obedient to what God calls you to do. Whether things are going good or bad in your life, lift up praise to the Lord. I like what it says in Psalm 148. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him in all his angels. Praise him in all his hosts. Praise him in the sun and the moon. Praise him in the stars of the light. Praise ye the heavens and the waters above the heavens. It's amazing what can happen if you stop focusing on you and you start focusing on the Lord. It literally changed Paul and Silas' life. It literally changed that jailer and his whole family's life. And so, congregation, we got to start praising God. We have really no reason to walk around with our souls downcast, honestly. What's the worst thing that can happen to you, Dave, if you die?
Go to heaven.
Where are you going to go?
Heaven.
You're going to go to heaven. So is that bad?
No.
What are you worried about? Right? What can you threaten me with? I mean, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to go meet your Lord and Savior, praise God. We got to have a smile on our face. We got to look forward to praising the Lord. Is anybody working a place where you can listen to the radio? Yeah, yeah, that's a dumb question for Sister Terry. But if you listen to something uplifting, does it not change your attitude? You know, when I was this is a bad confession to make maybe, but when I was in grade school, I was a skater guy. I liked to skateboard. I thought I was cool, man. I had the airwalks. My hair was flapped over here. I don't know how that helps you, but when your hair flapped over here, you can see less, and so you fall more maybe. I don't know, but I had that going on, and I thought I was cool. You know, I had the parents that are like, Alan, did you put your knee pads and your helmet on? Like, are you kidding me? I'll be the laughing stock of the world if I go out like that. No way, man. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, Mom. So I really show off on my... Look, yeah, that's when I tried to do an ollie. Here's when I fell off the ramp. Oh, this blood mark down here and road grind. Yeah, that was from this story. No, I wanted all that great stuff. And so, you know what kind of music I listened to, though? It was like some heavy metal, like... You know, so I'm like... Let's do the skateboard thing, you know. It just got me in the mood. And so if you're listening to that kind of music, you might be in the mood all the time. But if you're listening to like good uplifting music, then you'll be like, the world is light as a feather. I mean, music affects the way you act and what you think about. We go to Ireland, we listen to, they have all this fast music. I can't understand the words because they're in Gaelic. Who knows what they're saying? So I don't know what kind of music it is. But all I know is my pedal's like, coming. Quarters are coming faster and faster. Shannon's like, how fast is the speed limit? I don't know. I can't see the signs. You know, music affects us. And so if you listen to uplifting music, music that's positive, you'll become positive. You'll act a little bit more positive. And that's what praise is about. See, once you get used to praising God, once you get loose to lifting your voice up to God, then great things start happening. You start to become a happier person. And that's important. Don't we all want to be happy? I mean, I can just picture myself when I'm in a bad mood about Ron sitting down on his couch or his chair watching old Jimmy Swagger singing something. Oh, yeah. I went over to Ron's one time and said, my neighbors are mad at me, Pastor. I said, why? He said, boy, I've been blasting Jimmy Swagger down the porch all day. But, I mean, that makes him happy. It puts a smile on his face. And it's a way that he draws near to the Lord. Remember, the reason we want to praise God, not just to lift up his name, but to draw near to him, to be closer to God. That's the reason we come to church. That's the reason we pray. That's the reason we study the Bible, so we can grow closer to God. I love to sing. I may not sing that well, and for those of you that were listening to me singing at Great American Market Days, you might believe the same thing. But I love to sing. It's like ingrained in me. I just love to sing. Whether I know the words or not, just make it up. It doesn't matter. I just love to sing. And so I was singing at Lake Hills, the church I was a youth pastor at, but it was before I was a youth pastor. We just started. And I was singing, and hymns, the pastor, the music leader's like, open up to this hymn, and I'm like, you know, and then I learned how you can say watermelon, and it looks like you're like singing the song, so I'm like, you know. And then finally, the music director is like, he's like, hey, when everybody turn to this hymn, I'll fly away. I'm like, I know that one. Great. And so I start singing at the top of my lungs. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. And the guy next to me is like, what the heck is this guy doing? So we finish up church service and we're all greeting each other and stuff. And he goes, man, he goes, boy, you got into that last song, didn't you? He goes, you ever thought about singing special music or going out for the choir? And boy, I thought he was complimenting me. I'm like, oh, no, I never really thought about that, you know. And he goes, yeah, you should sing tenor. I'm like, what's tenor? He's like, tenor 20 feet away from everybody else. Thanks a lot. So anyway, I'm not saying by any means I'm the best singer, but I love to sing. I love to be able to lift my voice up to the Lord, whether it's good or bad. And you know what? I was in Cozumel when we were over there. Great things were happening. And so I was over in Cozumel, and I was singing kind of to myself, you know. And then I was drawn, my attention was drawn over to this object. And so I went and I tried to work a deal on that. Didn't work. So I went over to the next place, and I went over there. And I knew I just had to get these things, because once I looked at them, once I saw this object, that make a joyful noise unto the Lord came to me. And that's where this whole sermon came from. I was like, man, I just want to praise God. And I started thinking about this in Psalm 98:4, which I don't have memorized now, but somehow I had memorized when I picked up that item. It says, sing unto the Lord with a harp, with a voice of a psalm. And the verse before it, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. And so when I saw these things, Josh, would you give me a hand? When I saw these things, I was like, man, I gotta get these things. And so I did. Praise the Lord. I saw these maracas. I was like, I'm buying a maraca for everybody in the church. And so because it reminded me of making a joyful noise to the Lord. And so I want you to be reminded of the same thing, to be able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So the neat thing about maracas is, one, well, they're just kind of cool because they're maracas, right? But the other thing that's neat about maracas is they're all unique. If you look at these, you'll see how, like, they're all different. They all have a little bit different pictures. They're all a little bit different pictures. And they're all a little bit different shapes. And that's kind of how we are, right? We're all a little bit different. We have different shapes. We have different traits. We have different pictures. We make different noises. But nevertheless, but
nevertheless, we come together. All are blessed. So yeah, so the special thing about maracas is they remind us of making a joyful noise unto the Lord.
So you want a red one?
Sure.
You want a green one?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Because making a joyful noise unto the Lord is important. It's what draws us nearer to God, right? Draws us closer to God. It takes our mind off of our problems. And who doesn't like a maraca? Are these things cool or what? I mean, they're fantastic. And so when I saw this, I just thought, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, getting these through customs, we were a little nervous about that. Kyle brought it up. I didn't think it. I was like, I got a good deal. I bought over 50 maracas. He's like, yeah, good deal. How are you going to get those through customs? What kind of guy buys 50 maracas? I wonder if they're going to break them open and see what's hiding in here. I have no idea what's in here. So if there's contraband, I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know. All I thought about was the joyful noise aspect. But maracas are fun. They bring joy to our heart. Just like singing and raising our voice brings joy to the Lord. So as I close today, I want to remind you this. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you have to sing on key. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you need musical skills to be able to praise Jesus Christ. But several places in Scripture, it commands us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And when we're praising God, it'll affect your attitude, your day, and it'll make everything a little bit better. So as you next time you see a maraca in your life, or you look at your own maraca, remember, praising God. That's what I want you to think about every time you see this. Making a joyful noise and praising God. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make a melody to the Lord with your heart. So let me tell you, folks, as you bring joy to the Lord and you praise Him, whether you're doing it in Walmart, whether you're doing it at the Great American Market Days, or you're doing it in here, don't worry about anybody else but Jesus Christ. Have a good time. Enjoy singing to the Lord and have fun, and it will change your life. I guarantee it. So as we get ready to close, before we go to the Lord in prayer, we're going to sing that kid's song, praise Him, with our great maracas. So Josh, if you would do that for us, it would be great. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Next verse is loving. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him in the noontime. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Oh yeah. Serve Him, serve Him, serve Him in the morning, serve Him in the noontime, serve Him, serve Him, serve Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him in the noontime. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Serve Him. Serve Him. Serve Him in the morning. Serve Him in the noontime. Serve Him. Serve Him. Serve Him when the sun goes down. Lord, I just want to thank You today, God, for bringing us together to be able to learn how important it is
to make a joyful noise to you, to lift our voices, God, and to praise your name. God, you are mighty, you are powerful, and you love us, Lord. If we have nothing else to be thankful for, God, we should be thankful for the salvation that you've given us, Lord. That someday, God, when we go, when we pass away, when we move from this earth, we're going to be graduating to heaven, Lord, a perfect place with no tears, no suffering, no crying, no mourning, no sadness. Thank you, God, and we praise you for that, Lord. God, we know that there are people in our congregation today that are dealing with real problems, that are dealing with big struggles. And Lord, we don't make them out to be small, God, but we make you out to be big, Lord. We know you're bigger than our problems. We know you're greater than our biggest failure, God. We know you can do anything, Lord. And so we just lift your name up on high. Help us, God, to remember to praise you in the morning, praise you in the noontime, praise you when the sun goes down. God, whether we're in a good mood, a bad mood, or any other mood in between, help us to remember that praise draws us near to you, Lord, and changes our heart and lifts you up, Lord. Help us to be the Christians you want us to be today. We love you, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.